Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and where have we been today? Through the new Governor's Island Plan, your year-end financial audit, and the gay and lesbian teenage homeless rate in New York. And we'll finish up with a call-in for Knicks fans. How much would you pay to chant Fire Isaiah at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692? Knicks fans, this is your chance. And of all the injustices in the world that we could be protesting in the streets, how about homeless youth? That demonstration you might have come upon around Penn Station yesterday morning, complete with picket signs, was aimed at a basketball team, the historically hapless New York Knicks and their uninspiring, sex-harassing head coach, Isaiah Thomas. Now, granted, there was a free speech component to the protest. A fan got kicked out of Madison Square Garden this week for holding up a sign that read, Fire Isaiah. But mostly the demonstration was a reflection of fan disgust with the lamest team on 10 legs that New York has seen in a long time. Oh, and at prices that boggle the mind. The guy who got kicked out was a dentist. So, Knicks fans, how much would you pay to chant Fire Isaiah? Call us at 212-433-WNYC and say anything else you want about the team, the franchise, the owners, 212-433-9692. As with us is Daily News sports correspondent Frank Isola. Hey, Frank, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Are you the Knicks beat reporter?
Yes, I am, for about 12 years running. So I've seen some good times, and lately mostly you just see bad times, that's for sure.
You got to go there night after night after night.
Even on the road, too, which is interesting as well.
What do you see on the road?
Well, you know what? It's actually a lot easier for them on the road, because even though the fans are booing, you don't really get the Fire Isaiah chant. And any time you play at home and your home crowd is really on you, it puts a lot of pressure on the players. Because a lot of these guys really don't have the mental toughness to play in New York, and I think they really do get affected by the booze. But a game like Wednesday night against the Cavaliers, you know, the Knicks were in the game early, then they took a big lead, so the crowd really never had the chance to really start booing. But I will say this, late in the game, and that was, you know, the Knicks, it was their biggest win of the season in terms of margin of victory, there were fans still chanting Fire Isaiah, so a lot of fans aren't going to be fooled by just one victory.
Right. Well, you know, fans go to sports events sometimes just to get to scream without anybody arresting them or presumably kicking them out. So if they want to fire Isaiah, even if they're winning big that night, you know, they'll get their kicks. There was some kind of petition involved with this protest outside the Garden yesterday. Do you know what that was about?
It was just a gentleman who's been a long-time season ticket holder. He started the petition. They had the protest outside the Garden. I think it was yesterday at 11 o'clock in the morning. He did have a lot of signatures on it. Now, he said, I did a television program with him last night where he said he's going to continue to do this, so we'll see where it goes. But, you know, I think as long as people continue to pay the crazy prices for tickets in the building, for the most part, they don't sell out every game like they used to, but, you know, there's still a lot of people going there. It's the highest ticket prices in the league. You know, so Cablevision isn't really crying poverty right now.
Give me a sense of the range. I actually have not gone to a Knicks game since I was a kid. What's the range of ticket prices for Knicks games these days?
Now, I'm pretty sure you can get a ticket for about $50. Now, you're going to be sitting up pretty high. You know, the best seats were, there are some people who are paying over $1,500 a ticket. In fact, maybe even $1,800 a ticket.
And that's not to a scalper. That's the actual box office price.
That's the actual price, believe it or not.
Why is it so much more expensive than, say, baseball? I think the Mets just announced a 20% ticket price hike on average, but that's still going to mean the most expensive seat is, I think it's under $200, and you can still sit in the upper deck for $5 on a lot of days.
Yeah, you know, obviously there's more games, there's more seats. At the Garden, it's you know, there's fewer seats, so the demand can be a lot higher. Plus, you know, the one thing about the NBA, you can sit really close to the action, and you know, it's the one sporting event where you can be right there on the court. Now, sometimes that hasn't been a good thing, because you know, you get the players spilling into the crowd. There's been a couple of times where there's been fights where it's spilled into the crowd. But the experience of being down there on the court and seeing the size of these guys and seeing how athletic they are, it is a pretty unique experience.
I say go to college basketball, where it's pretty easy to sit up close, and it's cheap, and you see a good game, and you can teach your kids the game that way, too. Seth in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Seth.
Hey, Brian. Great show, as always.
You're a Knicks fan?
I've been a Knicks fan since 68, when I was 10 years old. And I remember going to the Old Garden and watching the DeBuscher, Bradley, Frazier days. And unfortunately, that was a great year for New York, and I was spoiled, and my Knicks and my Jets, and not to mention my Mets, have been major disappointments for most of the years since. But my point is, it's not about Isaiah. It's about the ownership. The ownership should be fired. It's a disgrace.
Frank, do you agree? Should these signs be reading, fire the Dolans instead of fire Isaiah?
No, he brings up a terrific point, because with any good organization, any good company, it all starts from the top, and you know the leadership at the Garden has been questioned in the past, and the guy who runs the place is Jim Dolan, who's the son of Cablevision founder Charles Dolan. Ever since he really arrived on the scene and took over for Dave Checketts, you know, the Knicks have really gone in the tank. And I think, you know, his big thing is loyalty, and which is a great thing, but in this case, I think he's being a little bit stubborn. I think a change does need to be made, but I think the more people talk about it, the more people write about it. I think Jim Dolan, he's a, you know, people who work with him say he's a contrarian, so he's going to do the opposite, and let's face it, that's exactly what's going on right now.
So people should go to the Garden with signs that say, keep Isaiah.
Hire Isaiah.
Promote Isaiah. Like Joe in Manhattan might actually bring that sign. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, what are you thinking?
I think that there seems to be a mob mentality going on in New York, and I think that not maybe 80% of the people that are talking about Fire Isaiah are just doing it because it's a fun thing to do, because that's what everybody else is doing. I really think you got to put some blame on the players. I mean, you know, we get too involved in management. We get too involved in salaries. When I was younger, it was just about the players, you know. So, and I also think Isaiah needs a little bit of time. I think he can really come around and be, you know, really get the team up to snuff. But, you know, we're too quick to fire people.
Well, I think that's true of what Isaiah Thomas did. He fired Lenny Wilkins, who's a Hall of Fame coach, has the most wins in NBA history. He fired him after 81 games. Larry Brown coached 80 games as the Knicks coach, Hall of Famer, won an NBA championship. He only coached 80 games, and he was fired by Isaiah Thomas. And yet you want to give Isaiah Thomas more time, who's been here 5 years and has coached over 125 games, and he's not in the Hall of Fame as a coach. He's never won a championship. In fact, he's never won a playoff series. I agree with what you're saying. All of a sudden, you want them to exercise patience with Isaiah Thomas, which is something he did not do with two Hall of Fame coaches that came before him.
Well,
and
there may be that standard, but how do you come up with a single standard as to how much to blame any coach or manager for the performance of the team? I mean, we just went through what seemed like a citywide deification of Joe Torre after he got fired as Yankees manager, and everybody saying, you know, whatever was wrong with the team, it was the players on the field. You can't blame the manager. And now everybody's just saying, fire Isaiah, as if all that never happened.
Well, I think in the case of the Yankees, you know, they were getting to the playoffs every year. And I think people were spoiled when they won those three in a row because, you know, the margin between winning and losing is very close. And you go back to that first series in 96 when the Yankees won. You know, they were down 0-2 but going on the road to play their next three games. So there was a couple of times where they easily could have lost. They had some dramatic comeback wins. Now, the Knicks, on the other hand, they have not won a playoff game since 2001. They've only been to the playoffs once since 2001. And, you know, here's the deal. Isaiah Thomas is responsible for bringing in every single one of these players. He's the guy responsible for firing all these coaches. So if you want to blame the players, and they certainly deserve a lion's share of the blame, but Isaiah Thomas is the guy that brought them in. And if you're saying that they don't have heart, they don't have pride, they don't play with enough intensity, well, you're the guy that decided to bring them in. So you can either blame the coach or you can blame the GM in this case. The bottom line is Isaiah Thomas is both of those guys. He holds both roles.
Another defender, Josh in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Brian. I'm a longtime fan, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I recently started getting into the Knicks, and I started actually becoming a fan at the end of last season, which was pretty awful, but they use their bench players a lot, and you could see where Isaiah Thomas made some good decisions in terms of drafting people. Larry Brown, as one of your early callers mentioned, had built the entire offense around Channing Frye, who was terrible. We sent him to Portland, and he's still terrible. And you know, the Knicks, after every season, I have a cold. Every game of the season that's been won, the papers automatically put a little tiny triangle on the top, like the Post and the Daily News. And then when they lose, it's a full front page cover. So there's never any attention paid to when the Knicks are doing well.
And it was just last season, as I recall, that the Knicks were seen as this kind of fun, young, up-and-coming team. We had a sports writer on at the beginning of the basketball season just in early November who said that the Knicks might actually win this year because they're in such a weak division, Frank. So maybe it gets a little harder to write off Isaiah Thomas wholesale looking at some of that recent history.
Well, last season, you're right. Last season, how much positive press the Knicks got. I said, you know, it was hard to believe that for a 33-win season, people were talking about it like they deserved a parade down Broadway. And to me, the standards have changed. When Patrick Ewing was here, Patrick Ewing was held to the standard of, you know, are you going to get us to the finals? And if he didn't, you know, yes, it was viewed as a good season.
Then he was a bum, even though he was one of the great players in Knicks history.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, but I thought Patrick Ewing was terrific, and, you know, obviously since he's fallen apart. I just think the standards have been lowered by everybody. I think they've been lowered by the organization. I think a lot of fans have lowered their standards, too, because, you know, last season they won 33 games, and people were celebrating it like it was some great accomplishment.
Now here is Alex in Corona, who's a baseball coach, who wants to compare coaching a baseball team or managing a baseball team and coaching a basketball team. Is that right, Alex?
Yeah, I'm not a coach, but I just kind of there's differences in it. I think a baseball coach has more control over the outcome of the game, and plus he has his job is harder, I think, than a basketball coach because he has to compare more stats. Like if you got to compare, first you have to have an inning count, a pitch count on your pitchers. Then you got to know how that pitch, if you're putting in a pinch, how he's going to hit against that pitcher. And it's just a lot more. And basketball is like more on the fly, and the players kind of play the game.
Frank, as a sports writer, and Alex, thanks for the call. You probably thought about this question. In which sport do the coaches or managers make the most difference?
I think it would be in basketball because there's so many possessions in a game. You know, you have to decide what kind of defense you want to use, how you want to defend certain great players in the league, what you want to do offensively. Plus, you have to remember that there are a lot of times where you'll play back-to-back games. So you might be, you know, home against, Cleveland one night, and then the next night you're on the road, say, in Orlando. So you're playing two different teams. You don't have that much time to prepare for them, whereas in baseball, obviously, you know, you're in one city for like 3 days playing the same team over and over. I actually think basketball is a lot harder because of all the different decisions you have to make on every single possession.
You know, we haven't talked about off-the-court factors here, but, of course, Isaiah was convicted in that sexual harassment case. He's been quoted, though he denies it, disparaging white season ticket holders. Even the report of that, even if it's untrue, can increase the animosity between the coach and the people who tend to actually be in the stands. Do you think race is an issue here?
Well, you know, it was definitely brought up at the trial by Isaiah Thomas, you know, when he talked about you know, if, whether it's appropriate for a black man or a white man to call a black woman the B word. And then, of course, Anupa Brown Sanders, who filed the lawsuit against the Garden and Isaiah Thomas, in her testimony, she had said that Isaiah Thomas did make a derogatory comment about white season ticket holders. So race definitely was brought into it, and I think it was ultimately embarrassing for the Garden.
So it's another example where you have black players, primarily black coach in this case, overwhelmingly white ticket holders, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's in the majority of the NBA. You know, I would say the majority of season ticket holders all around the league are white. And it's, you know, race is always an issue in the NBA. It's something that definitely comes up. But, you know, there are so many players, different players that transcend that. Obviously, Michael Jordan being the prime example of
just,
that.
Just give me 30. We're almost out of time. Just give me 30 seconds on how much you think is here in terms of a free speech issue. This guy who held up the sign, Fire Isaiah, was kicked out of the Garden. I gather you're not their favorite person in the world for what you write.
Well, you know, I would say this. You know, the Knicks do have a policy, and if they find something that's offensive, they do reserve the right to either make you stop saying something or they can take a sign away. So in the Garden, I don't necessarily think those rules do apply, and I'm sure Isaiah Thomas finds the words Fire Isaiah pretty offensive.
private property.
Exactly.
Daily News sports correspondent, Knicks beat writer Frank Isola, thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for listening, folks.